We're here at Menards Bag Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint.
Batteries.
Tools.
Toilet paper.
Extension cords. Grocery items.
Hardware for my cabinets.
Snack items. Crackers and some canned good stuff.
Shop vac supplies.
Toothpaste, cereal, coffee, dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
We're live.
Sweet. We're doing it.
Yep.
All right.
Bookish Buzz Podcast, Episode 1.
Episode 1, the beginning.
The beginning of something great.
Absolutely.
Something well needed, something well deserved.
It's books.
It's books.
How could it not be great?
I like that. And there's our slogan. It's books. Maybe a little bit more.
I like it.
Well, welcome to the first episode. I'm Caleb. We are coming to you from Icon Cowork in Lakewood, Ohio. We'll talk a little bit more about that in the future here. But what is Bookish Buzz? We're going to be talking about books today. Some reviews, some recommendations, some things to avoid.
Some news.
Something with a little pop culture sprinkled in. And we're going to learn a lot about what we like and what we don't like. Because what's the point in doing this? If not for ourselves. So again, I'm Caleb. I've always been a big reader, really enjoyed reading as a kid. And then, you know, life gets in the way. But COVID came in and reset everybody's priorities. And around 2021, I started picking up some books again. And, you know, TikTok got to me. So they got me Midnight Library. And that book is just so incredible. If you haven't read it, you got to pick it up.
I started it and I put it back down.
You have to find the book when you need it.
Okay.
Because it's a heavy topic. Matt Haig writes some heavy topics, but I found it at a time. I think a lot of people found it at that time because it deals with mortality and regret. And so I think that's why it was so popular during COVID with everything going on. And we just didn't know what was going to happen. And obviously, 4 years later, post-COVID, the world's very different. So I started my passion for reading again then and just haven't looked back. Reading horror, a lot of fantasy, which is actually newer. I didn't read a lot of fantasy as a kid. Queer books, literary fiction, thrillers, middle grade, YA, my graphic novels. I love my graphic novels. People say they don't count as books. Fight me.
It's paper. It's bound with words.
Just like audiobooks.
Yeah.
Don't come for me for audiobooks because you're listening to a podcast.
Absolutely.
So, all right, your turn.
My turn. I'm Ashley. And I've always been a huge reader, but like a lot of adults and life and things, it just happened and I lost sight of it. I picked it back up after I worked on getting my degree back in 2016 with my health journey because health is wealth. And the very first book that put me back into my love of reading was You Are a Badass by Jen Sincero. From there, I went on to read more personal development books, but really picked everything back up again late COVID. TV got old and I got tired of it. I needed a break and escape. A little bit about my reading taste. I like all things personal development, fantasy, thrillers and mystery, horrors that obviously don't scare me because I'm a chicken. I'll take the suspense part, but I did read a few this past fall that actually did surprise me. YA, literary fiction, of course, historical fiction. I'm a love of it. And just a little bit of romance sprinkled in. Not too much, though.
Yeah, you're going to have to handle some of the heavy workload there. I don't like historical fiction. Romance is it's budding, but I like love stories. I don't want smut.
Yes, yes. Love stories. We can do love stories, happy endings, maybe some not so happy endings, but no smut.
Yeah, it's just not for me. I'll leave that for my wife. She loves smut.
I tried a smut. I couldn't.
It's awkward. It's cringy.
Yeah, just a little bit. Especially the one I just read. Yeah, it was cringy.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
We'll get
TikTok
into it.
Got me.
It does that. All right. So we're coming to you from Icon Cowork in Lakewood. This is a home away from home, home office away from home office. How about that? Where some people are working fully remote, but they don't have the space in their homes to set up an office. There are some cowork spaces here, some open spaces, some booths, some private areas that you can come in and for a very decent price come in. As many days as you want, 24/7 access and snacks and drinks and good old time. Unlimited, absolutely. There's also meeting rooms that you get as part of your package. couple hours a month, and then this lovely podcast studio that you get as well, a couple hours a month. So check them out. There are a range of spaces from micro offices, which I don't think they're micro.
They're not micro. They're huge.
That's a very tricky word, to the extra large spaces, which are pretty darn big.
You have a whole company in them.
There are a couple larger companies here. So check them out, Icon Cowork in Lakewood, and give them a call. All right. So we're going to get into some book reviews, kind of recapping the last couple of months of reading, kind of that fall recap era. I know we're still in the tail swing of fall, at least what I consider fall, which is my September to November. And then I kick it off in December for winter. So we're going to talk about what worked, because on our journey here, learning what we like, what we don't like, sometimes I pick up a book I really think I'm going to love. It maybe is a second part in a series, or it's from an author that I loved. Sometimes I get burned. These books here, I did not.
Okay.
So, yeah, kind of kicking it off, just queer books and fantasy reads were topping my shelves for fall. I went through a really bad reading slump in the summer. We were ripping and running and vacation, and I just didn't pick up a book.
Summer's too hard to read books.
I don't think I had a... I know I didn't have a five-star read since, March.
I think I have a few.
So now in the fall, I picked up 8 five-stars, which is crazy. 4 of them were queer books. A classic by James Baldwin, Giovanni's Room. Yeah. I picked it up because Swimming in the Dark, which is my second queer book on here, very much is inspired by Giovanni's Room, which is very much they're both historical settings, obviously James Baldwin, and then Swimming in the Dark is in Poland in the 80s. And very much they are historical in the way that they're a recording of the lifestyle and the struggles of queer folks in those times.
Okay.
Giovanni's Room adds a layer of complexity to it because we have race relations. You have black and white in a city that largely wasn't as discriminatory. It was Paris, it's France.
Mm-hmm.
Not as discriminatory as, say, the United States, but still very much so. Struggles and hidden personalities and shame and sorrow and loss and grief. They're very poignant books.
Sound kind of heavy.
They're very heavy. Both of them are very heavy.
I didn't read those. I have never read those before.
I wanted to pick up some more classics, and I did. Giovanni's Room was just tops the list. His writing is just incredible. So I have a couple new James Baldwins on the shelf to pick up over the next couple months.
Okay.
When my heart can take it.
You'll have to share them with me so I can give it a try.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Now, on the other side of that, we have a book called Bear Your Gaze, which is a satirical take on Hollywood and queer folk. It's by Chuck Tingle, who is a pseudonym for a man nobody knows. He's an internet sensation. His identity is hidden. What he tells you may be the truth, may not be true.
Okay.
I read his book last year called Camp Damascus, and it was a queer conversion camp story, horror story. And God, it was so good. But Barrier Gaze just absolutely blends horror, sci-fi, queer-related issues, things like that, that really find a way to make such a complex and unique story. You'll never find another one like it.
Okay.
Plus, the cover is just absolutely gorgeous. So lastly, on the queer side of things, was Somewhere Beyond the Sea, the sequel to The House of the Cerulean Sea. And
that's in my library.
It's so beautiful.
It's in my library. It's in my Kindle library. I haven't picked it up yet.
Miss Peregrine's home meets just a very soft, gentle, queer love story with non-traditional characters. But what I find and what I have found in all of my reading experience is if you create a character that isn't just Joe Schmo, has a lot of personality. Not to mention I listen on audio, so you also have to find a narrator
that you like
who can do it.
Mm-hmm.
But
that makes a break the story.
The characters are so great, and you'll fall in love with every one of these little magical kids. And the second story picks up where the first one takes off. We get we're just going to get a cash grab. We're going to get another same story, change out settings or something. No, we got a completely new story with some of the same characters, some new characters, a little more complex, but just as sweet. And so it absolutely destroyed my heart in the best way.
So it sounds like I need to pick that one up.
House of the Cerulean Sea is such a good time. And I recommend that as somebody who just wants a very, it's cozy without being too cozy.
Not a cozy.
Listen.
I don't like the cozy.
You think you don't. You haven't found the right cozy. Okay, this isn't a pumpkin spice cafe. Okay, we got some wins here. So you'll have to check it out. Let me know what you think.
Okay.
So what happened with you this fall?
For me, my goodness, my fall has been eventful. I start mine with Belladonna.
Is that your smut?
No, it's not smut.
The cover looks smutty.
It did kind of look smutty, but it's not smutty. Lots of twists, lots of turns. The ending, oh my goodness, I didn't even expect it. She actually ends up having like this love for death because she can't die. Ooh. So it's very deep, very interesting. And then I read the sequel, Foxglove. That wasn't, to me, a 5-star, but it was like a 4.5. Wisteria, book 3, I'll be reading next month. I'll be reading that one. So
is the Foxglove, that's just Foxglove, not Foxglove King, correct?
No, it's just Foxglove.
I want to let everybody know, don't pick up Foxglove King thinking that's what she's talking about. I'm getting Addie LaRue vibes.
You know, actually, it I think that might be why I kind of like it, because I did actually read Addie LaRue this fall.
Oh, this fall?
Yeah.
Oh, that's one. Me and my wife are cemented in top books of all time.
Addie LaRue was different, and I think that's why I also liked Belladonna, because they definitely did have some of the same vibes. And death and fate are definitely a part of that, so it's really good. The next one for me would be The Women. Kristen Hannah follows a Vietnam war nurse through everything. Her whole journey of deciding to swear in and volunteer all the way until after she leaves and all the struggles that she goes through. It was just probably one of the most beautiful stories that I have read because you really don't get that side of things. They'll say, oh yeah, this is what it was like, but they don't go into the details. I mean, this was, it felt like I was there with Frankie all the way.
This sounds heavy.
It did have a couple heavy parts.
You're there picking was, on me for my heavy reads. That sounds heavy.
It was heavy, but it was beautiful. I think I have a skill for picking the beautiful heavy books. I don't know if that's possible, but I do have a skill of picking the two. So you have to read The Women. A phenomenal read. I recommend it to everyone and anyone. Very good historical fiction.
It's an uphill battle for me. Historical fiction, not my strong suit.
Oh, you're going to love
Kristen it, Kristen Hannah has, she run 2021 with Four Winds, I believe it is.
Okay.
Book of the year for Goodreads, and it's everywhere. I could pick it up for like $2 because it's at every book sale I've ever been to, but something is not calling to me.
You got to pick it up.
I'll consider it.
I think I am pro Kristen Hannah after reading that. Like, I even put The Nightingale on my December list. Talk about that a little bit later. But anything Kristen Hannah, I think I'm just ready to eat them all up. I don't know. That first one, that just did it. The next one for me, The American Queen by Vanessa Miller. This one is definitely an African-American historical fiction. But this one was not your usual one. This one was about the first American queen to actually be established here in the United States, called Happy Land.
Never heard of this.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know how I never heard of it.
Right?
I mean, let's
talk about it for a minute. We've never heard of this. We went to a liberal school. We did not get whitewashed. I've never heard of this.
No. And it was just amazing. The journey itself and how slavery was abolished. And they're here on this land. They're still working for these individuals. They're still calling them master. And there was just one, the one who were called American Queen. I'm sorry, I can't remember the name right off the top of my head. But she was very strong and said, we don't work for them anymore. She made sure that everyone in this land knew that she wasn't going to have it. Long story short, they set out to find this land that they worked very hard for, to build this land. They built houses on this land. Just amazing story. Felt like I was there. I don't know. I guess all my books felt like I was there.
That's the sign of a good book.
I had some really good ones. I definitely had some really good ones.
Okay, a couple more wins for me before we start talking smack about books. I had 4 more 5-stars, and they were fantasy reads. Brandon Sanderson huge for me this season. Mistborn was my third book from Sanderson, but the first in his regular, I'll say, catalog. I read all of his special projects, with the exception of the Frugal Wizard's Guide. It was too strange for me. Mm-hmm. But I read his more traditional to him, fantasy special projects, and I really like his writing.
Okay.
Character work is great. World building, incredible. He writes books that are easily 350, 500, 600 pages, and you fly through
them. Yeah, they're massive.
You fly through them. Well, I fly through them. We'll talk about why you don't fly through them later.
Yeah, not flying.
But I read it, and it has this setup that is just incredible. And then I read Elantris, which is actually his first book, a debut. And it reads like somebody who's been writing fantasy his whole life.
Really?
It's not perfect.
Okay.
But it is great.
Is that also a part of the Mistborn series or different?
Completely standalone.
Okay.
While it exists within his overarching universe, the Cosmere.
Okay.
It's not connected to Mistborn in any other way.
Okay.
You hear a name that is connected to many of his books, but that is it. Same thing in Mistborn. You start to hear this name, and when you start reading Sanderson books, you're going to hear this name a lot. And that's what connects his universe, is this particular individual. So I had a fantastic time with that. We're going to skip over two other of my big reads. But I also read T. Kingfisher. She writes horror. She writes fantasy. Horror, not for me, sadly. I'm a horror buff. Mm-hmm. Her characters are strange and eclectic, and I didn't care for them.
Never heard of her. Fantastic.
In fantasy, the fairy tale retellings and different ways that she's put spins on fairy tales, top notch. I understand after reading 3 of her fantasy books in the last 2 months.
Okay.
Why everybody puts her in the top tier. Are they 5s for me? No. But did I have 2 4s and a 3.5? Like, solid books. Absolutely. I read Nettle and Bone, my favorite for sure.
Okay.
Thornhedge, right there next to it. And then I'm just finished A Sorceress Comes to Call last night. And it was really good. It just, oh, too.
What retellings are they based off of?
So they take, I think Sorceress Comes to Call is actually based off the, I want to say it's the Goose Daughter, the Goose something.
Okay.
Gooseling, I don't know. But it's so different from the traditional telling that it kind of has elements of Gothel and Rapunzel.
Okay.
Where the mother is an evil sorceress and keeping this young one away from everybody.
That does sound interesting.
So Sorceress Comes to Call, very good. But Nettle and Bone has this element of magic to it and some other things that really, I think, is an action-adventure story. They're always female-led protagonists, which I love a female-led protagonist, especially one that's spunky and has personality. So if you are looking, if you've been burned by Kingfisher on any horror books, rest not.
I haven't read any other horrors, but it sounds like I need to try the Nettle and Bone.
Nettle and Bone is where it's at. I think you're going to like that one.
If you gave it 4, that means that mine would probably be good. So I have to give it a try.
And now we are going to talk about the Shepherd King duology for me and the first book
for you. Just the one for me. Don't spoil it.
I won't.
The One Dark Window.
October book club pick, right?
Yes.
Thank you for that. That's when I actually became active in the book club.
It only took how long?
It did take a while. Listen.
You missed Fourth Wing.
So what a shame. I did not want to read that book anyway. You made me obsessed with a book that I didn't think I was going to like.
That's a good thing.
It was a heck of a pick, and so much so that I picked up the second book literally the day after we finished it and finished it a day later.
See, I was finishing some other book.
You were finishing Immortal Dark.
Oh, God, no. That was terrible.
Talk about that in a minute.
A little bit later. But yeah, no. I should have picked up The Two Twisted Crowns. I should have did it.
You got time.
It's on the list this month. I'm going to read it.
One Dark Window. Mm-hmm. What did you give that?
I gave it a 4.5.
I think I did too. I think I have it on here as 4, but I think I gave it a 4.5.
I had to figure it out first because when I first started listening, because of course I listened to it, I listened and at first I was like, what's going on? You know, just reading Mist and all kinds of weird things. And then once I figured it out, I was like, okay, I'm in. And I couldn't put it down.
It was a really good mix of complex magic system with these providence cards.
The cards, yes.
The cards were cool. You know, it actually is what sparked my interest in like tarot again.
Mm-hmm.
They just had this little magic quality to it. And I thought it's just so cool and unique.
Mm-hmm.
And then the character work.
Yes.
It was good. The romance that wasn't too much. Now, I'll tell you, in book two, it definitely gets smuttier, but not overwhelming. There's like two scenes. That's what I like. I like
to
get to know the characters and then build in their love. And if they have to have a love scene, I mean, everybody deserves some love, but I don't need it on the page all the time. But it was really good. And I know the book club, you know, well, the people that read it.
Yes.
Overwhelmingly loved it.
Absolutely. So that was a winner.
Hopefully we have as much of a win with the next read.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about that here in a minute.
Yes. All right. So that was pretty good.
Yeah.
So we got to talk about the not so good.
Unfortunately.
I mean, it happens.
Yeah. I know a lot of people who will put down a book that they're not going to get 5 stars.
Yes.
You're missing out on good stories that just aren't great.
Yes, because they could be 2 and 3 stars. I mean, sometimes even once.
I like reading people, especially early books. And
yes.
You're like, oh, it's a 2-3 star, but there's something special there.
Mm-hmm.
And when they write that book and they nail it, I'm going to be there for the journey.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to give up until I've been burned twice.
At least you give it 2 times.
Yes.
I will probably say if I didn't like it, I'm going to put it down. I am a fan of the Do Not Finish Club because I'm a mood reader. If it doesn't hit the mood, I got to put it down and find something that does fit the mood. But for me, I will have to say that my 3 stars were okay. They were not hit the moon over the stars kind of thing, but they were 3s.
Were they books that you wanted to read for a while and just hadn't gotten around to, or?
No, these were all TikTok books.
Oh, see, there it is.
Yeah, Book Talk got me this time.
See, yeah, they do that.
Yeah. Credence?
I've never heard of this.
Oh, gosh. Don't. It's smut. All the way.
Oh, this is the smut book.
Yes, okay. This is the smut book. And my goodness, I don't even know what I read. I stopped it at 60% because I'm like, okay, this is too much. And I only finished it because I was so close to being done. Ending, not so bad, but still. It was a lot. Like, it was a lot.
Yeah.
And it's very controversial because apparently this girl goes to live with, you know, just to sum it up, because why, you know? She goes to live with her step uncle and her step cousins.
I don't like that we're having to put step on this.
That's a step.
That's not where
she's never met.
Goes.
Yeah, that's where it goes. No. Yeah, that's where it goes. But we'll leave that one alone. Okay. Yeah, no. The Spell Shop. Cute. Pretty cover. It sucked me in. Since I saw it on Target shelf, yeah.
It's a really good cover.
I want to say that's about it. I mean, the cute cover, I mean, but I don't like cozy. We have discovered that I do not like the cozy, so.
Do you want your book with some meat?
It's got to have something. I can't just read the fluff stuff. And everything that I've, these 3 stars, they were all fluff for me. The Boyfriend, Freda McFadden's new book.
Yeah.
Yeah, housemate still.
You just change out characters and settings and she puts out another book.
Yeah, that one just... It was okay. It wasn't, oh my gosh, I gotta read it. Like, Housemaid? Definitely. Housemaid was my first one, and I was like so totally Freda McFadden. But that one, no. I have to say, those are my 3 stars. Those are my 3. Oh yeah, Mistborn.
It's on there.
It's on there. But I think it's not just fitting the mood yet.
I think it's gonna be a DNF for you. I finished Mistborn, and it is a solid 4.75, 4.5, right close on the 5. I might have even given it a 5.
It's maybe like a 2.
It is long.
I think I'm like maybe 20% in, maybe.
Oh, that's narrow. So you haven't even gotten to the good stuff yet.
Because it's the world building and it's all of the things that I'm...
The world is complex and...
I think that's why I had to put it down.
The magic system is very complex and
okay.
It spends a lot of time as our main character is learning that magic system.
Okay.
And... The underlying espionage-themed plot with this heist and this overthrowing the government kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
which, I mean, when you say it like that, it doesn't sound intriguing.
Right.
But for me, the way he writes his characters and the magic system is enough to hook me in, and I enjoy the world build.
He might be a little too heavy fantasy for me. I don't think I'm ready yet.
He has revolutionized, as in 24 years ago when he started writing books, revolutionized fantasy again. So okay. We had our classics. We had our J.R.R. Tolkien's. We had, you know, C.S. Lewis, who wrote very much traditional fantasy. You have your Salvatores and you have your other things that write very traditional epic fantasy. But he puts a twist on it.
Okay.
There's a sci-fi element to it. And there's complex magic systems that don't follow just your standard, here's your elf or here's your this. It is great.
Mm-hmm.
The good news is, if you didn't like that book, he's got 50 more to pick from. So
yeah,
maybe this isn't it.
Maybe it's the universe that I don't like.
I don't think you'd like Atlantris, and Stormlight Archives book 5 is coming out. I think it's a 62-hour audiobook.
62 hours?
Yeah, I have the first book.
Mistborn
is 29 hours.
That is a long book.
I know.
I feel like I would be reading that for like 3 years.
That's what that 3x beat is for. Uh-huh.
I can't read a 3x speed.
Listen, I put these headphones on, and that's where I'm at. But yeah. I get it. I think it's going to be a DNF for you, and I don't hate it. We are still trying to figure out what works for us and mm-hmm. what doesn't. Mm-hmm. I had some DNFs as well. I had some 2 stars.
Okay.
So my middle-of-the-road kind of books, they just didn't work for me. They were 3 stars, 2 stars, from authors I've liked.
Mm-hmm.
I've loved. I didn't really love Elena Urquhart. She has a podcast called
okay.
Morbid.
Okay.
She dabbled into authorship.
Okay.
With her first book, The Butcher and the Wren. And it's a short
book. I've seen
it. It's good true crime. The writing just isn't great. She's
okay.
a podcaster by nature. She's learning. Second book, I just felt like it worked,
mm-hmm.
but it didn't work. So she okay. made it fit. And that's not always good. We don't want to shoehorn things in there.
No.
Two books from Simone St. James, all 3 stars. I loved her first book because she's not afraid to go there with the supernatural.
Okay. I've never heard of her.
Book of Cold Cases and Murder Road, they were just okay. They have that supernatural. They're fun, cozy reads for me that don't have... You want to talk about horror that's not scary?
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Okay.
They're not scary. They've got really no jump scares.
Okay.
It's mostly just like there is some supernatural and there's some foreboding moments, but it's not overwhelming.
Okay.
And then... Into the Drowning Deep, which people put at the top of their list for Mira Grant, who's also known as Shauna McGuire.
Okay.
It's mermaids, and it's the deep sea, and it's bloody, and it's nasty, but it wasn't good.
It doesn't sound like it would be good.
I don't know what it was. Too many characters. There were entirely too many characters.
Books have too many characters.
And the audiobook, I think, yeah, the audiobook switches perspectives.
Oh, no.
You will lose me if we've got 15 characters and 15
perspectives. No, we can't do that.
And then Evocation. Listen, I wanted to love this book. This is S.T. Gibson. If you've never read from S.T. Gibson, she has a book that is it's called A Dowry of Blood. And
that sounds yucky.
It's not. There is a little bit of gore. It's a vampire story.
Okay.
It is so well written mm-hmm. and poetic. You will love the book. It's not a horror book in the way that it's scary. It is very much about the passage of time. They're mortal. Love. So there's open relationships because they're vampires. What do they care?
Right.
And it's just so beautifully written. The second book, Education of Malice, awful. Did not love it at all. Evocation, I'm like, we're going a different route.
Okay.
Hated everybody in the book. 2 star. I can say nothing more. It is just not a good book.
2 stars is still something.
It's a book that I wouldn't recommend.
It may be somebody else's 5-star.
For sure.
Mm-hmm.
5-star is a stretch. and then I had 2 1-star reads on top of these DNFs. These 1-star reads were just books that I would not waste your time on.
Okay.
Graveyard Shift. I was so excited for this little novella. It was an hour in audio. It was over before I knew what the hell
was
happening.
It was an
hour? That is it. It is like 90 pages. It is so small.
Why did you read an 1-hour book?
Because I didn't have an hour to sit down and read the book. I finished it so quickly because I listened on 2.5. It may have been an hour on 2.5, but
okay.
regardless,
but
it
still.
Was not good. And then Midnight on Beacon Street, I thought I was going to get some like R.L. Stine, Fear Street vibes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, a good old slasher. I didn't. I don't know what I got.
Mm.
1 star. Don't read.
Okay.
DNFs. Sadly. We'll talk about one in a moment. 5 Broken Blades.
Yes.
We'll talk about it. The other two, Astrology House, just wasn't working for me. It's a thriller, suspense, too many characters. It's astrology. So you got 12 zodiacs. You got at least 14 characters.
That's a lot.
Way too many. And flipping back and forth and trying to remember the names for these really basically flat written characters is impossible.
Okay.
The Life Impossible. Matt Haig's newest book. Again, I raved about the Midnight Library earlier.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's the pretty blue one.
It is the pretty blue one. Me and a friend who I trust very dearly DNF'd it. I think he writes books for people at certain times in their lives. And I don't think this book is for me.
Okay.
I think maybe eventually when I'm older, when I'm in a later point of my life, because it is very much about an older character, main character, and dealing with some of that bit of regret and some of those other things that I think are great to explore. I'm not ready to explore the regrets I haven't even made yet. So it was a DNF for me, but.
You know, when I read the, like, just seeing the title of The Life Impossible, it reminds me of A Little Life.
Oh, yeah.
The Yara,
I know. I don't want to say it and mess
but
it up.
But it's the really, really big book that, yeah.
I've heard fantastic things.
I have heard fantastic and not so fantastic.
All the people that I trust have heard fantastic. The internet is.
I did put it back on my list, so I have to try it again.
We'll see. Maybe. Future book club pick.
That would be happy.
That's all right. We can't all have easy reads.
But the easy reads are the good reads.
They are.
Nobody wants the hard stuff.
So that's our recap for the fall. A lot of books. Some recommendations to avoid. But now we got to look ahead at what's next.
Winter.
It's winter time.
Yes.
Cozy, even though you don't like cozy reads. It's, for me, a lot of isolation and those foreboding feelings, you know, the lack of sound that you get in winter when the snow muffles everything.
I got some good ones planned.
I've got some creepy ones planned.
I don't have creepy, but I am looking forward to some really hefty, heavier. I wouldn't say heavier, but hefty. They're thickums.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I know we have at least a couple of those that we share that are going to be some big chunkers. But
yes.
We're going to look ahead at some new releases or some books that are just recently released, maybe in the last few months, and what we're looking forward to. So I'll let you start.
I have Variation, Rebecca Yarros.
Fourth Wing, but very different.
Very, very different.
Is that in the realm of her? She writes military romances.
Yes. And she writes ones that will really tug on your heartstrings a little bit. Variation is a new one. It's coming out actually this week. Is that this week already?
No, I think it's next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday. All right. So 11/19. I am looking forward to adding that one to my Kindle. Very pretty book, of course, because, you know, I like pretty covers. So that one I'm looking forward to.
I see you have a theme here with Rebecca Yarros. I see some upcoming releases that are coming up at the beginning of the year. You're going to pick that up?
I'm totally going to pick it up. I'm going to reread Fourth Wing this month, actually. And I will also read Iron Flame for the first time. When I found out it was three books and how they were spaced, I immediately finished Fourth Wing and I said, I need to come back to this because I want to read them all. I have to read all of them at the same time. So it is happening. I have planned it. It's going to happen.
Needless to say, Iron Flame was not well received.
Oh, don't tell me that.
Really not well received. Why that book came out in the same year as Fourth Wing.
Yeah, it did feel kind of rushed when they released, but, you know, I'm still going to give it a try.
I don't fault you for it. You start a series, it's kind of hard to walk away, especially if you liked the first book.
It started fantasy for me. Like, honestly, that was one that...
You're not alone.
It was just, I don't know, I've never read books about dragons before. And it immediately just took me away. Just immediately. All of it. So I am looking forward to that. Onyx Storm. January. It's a little bit pushed back, but can I add the March one that I'm looking forward to?
Sure. It's our podcast. We can do what we want.
All right. Sweet. Oathbound. Did you read Legend?
Legendborn?
Yes.
No, but it's on my list.
Oh my goodness. We have to reread it.
That is a book club pick because I have been interested.
So Legendborn. Got to read that one. Mm-hmm. Bloodmarked. And then Oathbound, which is the third one for March.
So you're telling me I have 3 months to read these books. 4 months. I can do that.
4 months, yes.
You know me. If I like it, if it's good enough, I'll fly through two books. And
okay. I really think you'll like it. It's Secret Society, King Arthur. Yes. Very
with
good.
With a POC twist, right? That's a, I thought so. That covers, you know, got a strong black female character lead.
Absolutely.
You've got me.
And even just the dedication. It's for girls who don't belong. Oh. I believe it's something like that, or to the girl who didn't belong. I can't pin it exactly what it is, but that's what I'm looking forward to. Definitely.
Sometimes they get me with these dedications.
You
know, it's more than just for Tom and Steve. Like, no, it's...
No, they put some meaning on them now. I remember being younger and they were like, oh, for, you know, my son, my mom, whoever. And now they are like so deep.
We write these books for our younger selves or for people that maybe we once were. And
absolutely.
So I love it.
I'm for it.
I've got a couple on here. I think we have some that we both match on in a little bit, but I've got some that just recently released that are hitting me. I have Cold Snap at Home. It's a very much a isolation kind of horror story.
All right.
But it's a really small novella. The novellas, they pack such a punch, and I'm really hoping this one hits.
Okay.
It may not. I'm not sure.
I don't usually pick up novellas.
Why?
They're too small.
But if the story is good.
But I want more.
That's the sign of
a
good novella.
If it's a novella in a series, yes.
Okay.
Novella by itself, can't do.
You'll try and get me on historical fiction. I'll try and get you on novellas. How about that?
All right, fine. Pick up the women first.
I don't know if I should have signed on to that. Academy for Liars, Alexis Henderson. I have never read from Alexis Henderson. She is on my shelves all over at home. Tell me why I've never picked up any of her books. She writes a historical horror.
Okay.
But it has some flair to it. So it's not traditional horror. I think one is called, it's going to miss me. Something witching. I don't remember. But there's a vampire story.
Okay.
And then there's another one. And her character work from everybody that says they love it. This is a dark academia. And I love dark academia if you've got the right characters for it. Because it can be dry. And then I'm going to pick up It Will Only Hurt for a Moment. Delilah S. Dawson.
Okay.
She wrote my top book of the year last year, which happened to be a little horror novella.
All right.
Called Bloom. It is bloody and gorgeous and twisty and short. And what more do you need to pack such a punch and get such a huge story that carries with it a lot of weight, but isn't large in size?
All right.
Was great. And then I picked up a book just the other day that I didn't even know came out that I hadn't heard anything about called Memorials. And it has a historical setting, and it is horror. It's the woods. It's creatures. It's fun. It's
Sounds
the 80s.
Creepy.
It's Richard Chismar, and he wrote Finding the Boogeyman and Catching the Boogeyman, and they're kind of true crime types of things, but he has injected himself into the story as if he were retelling what happened to him, and it is so interestingly written, and it was pretty good. So I'm excited for that one.
Okay.
Some upcoming releases. I've got some names on here that are in the top of my list. We've got Shauna McGuire on book 10 for the Wayward Children series.
Okay.
These are little novellas and part of a series, and they do world building so well. Shauna McGuire is incredible. She's also Mira Grant, which I've been reading a lot of lately.
Okay.
Witchcraft for Wayward Girls by Grady Hendrix. It's going to be weird, I'm sure. It's got a beautiful cover. It's interesting. Then we got some dark stuff. We got At Dark I Become Loathsome, which is Erica LaRocca, and he writes really dark horror that are always novellas. And
I don't think I could do the dark horror.
It can be tough.
I even tried the dark romance. I couldn't do it.
Oh, it's going to be something. And then just to kind of throw you off there, I put in The Baby Dragon Cafe because I love a cozy book because it's a palate cleanser.
Why does it have to have cafe on the end?
Hey, what do we want? Coffee. What do we want? Books. What do we want? Little tiny shop where you can sit and smell all the
things. And you can
scents.
Have all of the things.
And if you put dragons in it, you got me.
You know, I didn't realize there actually are some more books that I'm looking forward to.
Okay.
The God of the Woods.
Oh, yeah, we both
have that one in common. But that was obviously recently released. The Book of Doors.
I read that.
You did read that one.
I did.
How was it?
It's good.
It was good?
It's interesting. It's different.
Okay, so it's worth me giving that one a try.
I think you'd like them. It is somewhere in between a urban-ish fantasy with Matt Haig kind of storytelling, where it feels like there's a more of a message. doesn't quite come through perfectly. And I think it is going to be part of a series, maybe a duology. I enjoyed it. I gave it 3, I think.
And see, that was kind of the vibe that I had. The Ministry of Time. Have you heard of that one?
No.
Looks really cool. I think it was actually one of the Book of the Month ones.
I don't get the same books as everybody else I found with Book of the Month.
Really? You get different ones?
I see ads for Book of the Month and they have these books. And I'm like, oh, can't wait. I get on there and they're not offered to
me. And they're not even offered.
So I think they do it by region.
I did not sign up yet.
Well, we can talk about Book of the Month when they decide to sponsor us. How about that?
Hopefully so, you know. And my last one, The Last Murder at the End of the World by Stuart Turton.
I've never read from Stuart.
I haven't read from Stuart, but it's just something about the title and the cover that makes me want to read it. So
I like it.
Those are the ones that I'm looking forward to.
Those are all newer releases?
They are all newer releases for 2024. Okay. And apparently I have a thing for 2024 because a lot of the books I've read. So
yeah, I tend to get wrapped up in the, I guess, the newness of things, where you get people who are like, this was great, this was terrible, this is whatever. I need to know.
It's the book talk. The book talk and the bookstagram, that's where it lives.
I try to avoid it. I use my booktubers. I got shout out to Elias and Kayla because they give me most of my recs. Kayla, I usually read the books that she rates somewhere in the middle because they're probably going to be closer to 5 stars for me. She likes weird stuff.
And see, I don't have a booktuber yet.
Oh, you... I got Rex. Let me tell you.
I just started on the YouTube thing and I got to find a booktube that fits.
I will send you some links because some great people out there, and booktube is such an incredible community. It's not competitive in the way that BookTok and Bookstagram are.
Maybe we'll be on booktube.
Maybe.
That's possible.
Mm. There's some more books that I know that we're looking forward to. When the Moon Hatched.
Yes.
I was shopping this weekend for my birthday and that book just, I couldn't put it down. $32 for books.
It's beautiful.
The publishing industry needs to get it together.
I know.
$32 is entirely too much. But did I buy it?
Absolutely. I don't think I paid $32 for it.
Did you get a hardcover?
No, I got paperback.
I got the hardcover.
See, I didn't, where did I get my from? I went to Target. It was a buy two, get one.
Went to BAM.
Or buy one, get two. Whatever that deal was they were doing.
It's buy one, get two. You better call me next time. Shoot.
They have one going on now.
Oh. All right. I'm going to Target. And then I have some other. I think we both have All the Colors of the Dark.
Yes. We do have that one. That was supposed to be the book club pick, but, you know.
Well, we got a good one, too. So that's all right. And then you've got Children of Blood and Bones, book 2 and 3, I think, is... Virtue and Vengeance, Anguish and Anarchy.
Yes. I am ready to read that series too.
Tomiada Yami.
Yes. She's so great. Did you see it's going to be a movie?
I did.
And they're already starting casting calls.
You better get over there.
I don't think I'm part of that club, but I will read them.
I loved the book. The first book definitely feels very YAE.
Yes.
I've read the second book, but not the third. The second book, they're maturing.
Yet. I didn't read it yet.
It's good. It takes some twists, but the characters stay the same in that we're not adding a bunch of new characters.
Right.
And that's what I love.
I like that you can kind of grow with them.
Yes. I don't know what's going to happen with book 3, but the cover is incredible.
I can't wait to read them.
Yeah. I got some more creepy winter wrecks on there.
You with these creepy winter reads.
Winter Moon by Dean Koontz, One by One by Ruth Ware, and Breathless by Amy McCulloch. I love a good isolation story, and all 3 of those are hitting there. Dean Koontz, I mean, he's a classic. He's a classic in the horror genre, but he doesn't write.
I've seen some of his books, but I've never read them.
He's a well-written man. He's a well-spoken man.
Okay.
So his books can be a bit dense at times.
Okay.
So I'm hoping this one will be just unsettling enough to kind of taper some of that down.
Got it.
That's what we're looking forward to for the winter. And... now we get to talk about a little challenge that we do here on our new podcast, where we're trying to push the bounds of what we think we like, what we know we like. Because without knowing the boundaries of your reading tastes,
you won't know.
You won't know. You won't know what to pick up, and you could miss a hidden gem. And so we decided to challenge ourselves to something that had to do with theft and espionage. Where did that come from? We were both reading Mistborn, and you were struggling with it, and I absolutely loved it. And I'm like, why don't we try and find another book like that?
Mm-hmm.
And we tried.
We tried.
And we found a TikTok sensation.
And we failed.
And we failed.
But it was so pretty.
You know, it had a premise. And I think this is what I should have known. The premise is straight out of the fantasy writer's blueprint.
Okay.
And it followed that exactly.
It was a new one for me. I thought I was going to like it. It just seemed like too much.
Too many characters.
Just everything. And the audiobook is not good.
I believe I wrote the word atrocious, and I think it stands.
Yes.
I will always listen to a audiobook on one time speed just to see where I need to gauge my speed.
Mm-hmm.
3 wasn't fast enough.
I don't think I could even do a 3. I'm usually about a 1.2 to a 1.3.
You could hear this man swallowing on his recording.
I did like the different point of view, though. So, like, the different voices. You would have the woman's voice, the man's voice. I did like that because, you know, it adds a little something. But it was just too many characters. Yeah. I do think that it has some promise and maybe a reward somewhere in there. Again, I put it down for now, but I'm a Moo reader at heart. So maybe I'll pick it up in the summer and I'll love it.
Let me know. I won't be.
It'll be my third time.
No, thank you.
I'll try one more time.
I will stick with Mistborn because what it did was everything right. The writing style is so unique. The intriguing plot line, where the payoff is going to be worth it. World building, magic system, characters. That is the blueprint that this person should have followed. And unfortunately, it just wasn't it. Look, we're going to pick up books. We're not always going to get wins. I was happy to try and broaden it. I don't know that I don't like theft books, but what I will say is that they take time.
Yes.
They take setup and...
You got to know what's going on.
Slow.
Yes.
It just wasn't for me.
Okay. I'm still going to give Mistborn a try. I didn't throw it away completely. It's on my Kindle, but I feel like maybe if I have the physical book, I will really find myself just in it. Sometimes on my Kindle when I read, I don't feel like I'm really enjoying it because there's everything all around me. Whereas if I have a book, I can kind of shut down everything and just turn the pages.
I have the mass market paper book, which is...
Oh, gosh.
And there's a reason I switched over to audio. It's you're flipping pages quick because they're short. But there's also like 900 pages because it's a little short, fat thing.
Okay. So you'd be wondering.
Bible font. Like it is. So maybe just pick that up from the library.
Okay. You know, I have to see if the library actually has it. I did see that the library had some of the other ones, but I did not see the Mistborn at the library.
What I found with Sanderson, because I am a new stan of this man, his books are never at the library. They're never at a used bookstore.
What was the Way of Kings?
Oh, yeah. It's 1,200 pages.
That's at the library.
It's because you can't pick it up. It's not even a book. It's a tome. It is on my list, but it's 35 hours on audio.
Oh, my God. See, anything over like 16, I'm kind of worried about.
Yeah, it's because you listen to 1.5 times. You got to up it.
I can't. I can't concentrate. And then I wonder what they're saying. And then it sounds like gibberish. And then before I know it, I am just lost.
I feel you.
Can't do it that way.
You got to find what works for you.
Yes.
Now we've come to the fun part where hopefully the folks that love and adore us are going to come join us and come read with us as part of our book club.
Who needs reads?
Yes, we are who needs reads. Where did you get that? How did you come up with that?
Honestly, everybody needs a read.
It's so catchy. I love it.
Everybody needs a read. So I just said, who needs reads? And I was brainstorming one day because I have all these wonderful ideas in my head and things that I want to do and things that I could see being done. And I just said, one day I'm going to start a book club. And I think I said that at the beginning of the year. And I also said I was going to do other things. And here I am doing some of the other things. So who needs reads?
Currently working on Fable, a platform you found.
Yes. And I love it.
Because we've gone through multiple iterations of book club platforms.
Yeah.
And this one seems to stick.
I really, really like Fable. I like its platform. It's user-friendly. It's like a Facebook for books.
It is very much that. That is a great way to put it.
I love it.
It's cleaner than Goodreads.
Mm-hmm.
It's more user-friendly and more social.
Yes.
And not to mention, we have the capability to run the book club.
The way you want it.
The way you want it. breakdowns on chapters and sections and part discussions. Mm-hmm. A shared ebook you can purchase for, what is it, $10?
Yeah, I want to actually try the shared ebook.
I know nobody ever gives in.
I think that would be so cool to actually share the ebook. I don't know if you can share it like on your Kindle, though. I think it's just on that platform, which kind of in a way sucks because, you know, I like to take my stuff with me.
Yeah.
I don't want to just read it on my big old iPad or computer. And the phone is too small, so I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe it connects with Kindle. We'll have to see.
We'll have to see.
But it's great. We also have a Discord as part of the book club where we can get a little more social and we can get a little more spoilery if we decide to do that.
Yes. I want to see Discord take off. I can see it taking off. I really can. Discord's fun too.
Most of my other BookTube friends that I'm part of, we've got a Discord on there. Mm-hmm. Pretty active.
Did you know you can actually create a room where you guys are on camera and like reading together?
Yeah.
Or open discussion? I think that's so cool.
I think as the future unfolds, mm-hmm. we're going to talk about that in a minute. We'll see where that takes us.
We'll see.
But let's talk about what's happening right now. Today's November 12th. October, big win for us.
Yes.
One Dark Window. Mm-hmm. I found out The Games Gods Play, which is our November pick.
Yes.
Is on Kindle Unlimited.
Yes, it is.
So I picked it up.
Good.
So my wife is actually, I've been sending her the link 100 times to join the club. And she keeps forgetting. She's in Vegas right now on a trade show. So I'll let it slip.
Yes. We're going to have to get her in there. It's a Hades retelling.
Which is her favorite.
Absolutely.
Hades and Persephone are her squad goals. And she loves it. And she was so excited. And the book is gorgeous.
It is.
The colors.
Yes.
And everything about it. It is a good cover.
It's in my Target cart.
But let's get through the book club before you buy it.
No, I want to just buy the book because it's pretty.
I can't blame you. I did it this week. So
it needs to be a shelf trophy. I don't even have a shelf to put, say, trophy, but it's going to go on one day.
All of my shelves are like, oh my gosh, look at all these books. I'm like, those are my audiobook trophies because I don't ever physically read.
Not at all. That's like my Kindle.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, come join us. There's still time to get in on November and read with us. We'll have a link in the bio so that you can join on Fable, and then you can come talk and discuss and hop on Discord and get to know us, and we can get to know you, and we'll see what the future holds for the book club. What did you pick for December?
No, I haven't picked anything yet. I do have some really promising reads that we have going, and I think it might be one we kind of have in common, but
we'll have to put it
to the poll. To be continued. But I think I know which one it's going to be. I'm not going to say it, though.
Okay. Well, see, now you have to join because you have to know what we're going to read in December.
Absolutely.
But what comes next for our podcast? Episode 1, obviously, needs to have episode 2.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when we're going to get around to filming that, but I imagine before too long.
Absolutely.
This was a lot of fun. It's something we've wanted to do individually for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And you just got to find that person who's going to push you to get it done because we got this all planned in 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
Yes.
We're in the studio filming and recording. And I'm just excited. I'm very excited for what comes next.
I can't believe we actually did this.
Me neither.
I'm excited.
That's what we were talking about before filming. We've known each other for a long time. We're not going to put it.
Very long time.
Decades. Well, how about we do that?
Decades? Yes, that works.
We don't need to say how long, but it just goes to show you. Find people, common interests, common goals, and just do it.
Absolutely.
Just do it. Now, maybe don't invest in that offshore drilling. I don't know. Don't invest in everything. But if you've got a dream and you've got the capability, just try it. Just try it once.
It doesn't hurt to try. The worst thing you can do is try again, right?
Yes. If anybody ever sees the light of day with this podcast episode, let us know if we got on to episode 2 or not. But I think that's going to do it for us today.
I think so.
This was a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
Icon was great. Snacks and fantastic studio and great
coffee.
Equipment and good coffee.
I'm going to try the gelato before we leave.
Yeah, I know. They have a great gelato machine.
Yes.
There it is.
That's worth the money. Didn't they say it's like the only one?
I've never seen one.
I'm definitely going to try it before we leave.
Gelato Keurig. It's incredible.
Maybe while we work on our logo before we have to leave.
Sounds good.
We'll do that over ice cream.
Sounds good. All right, everybody. This is the wrap for episode 1. We'll see you next time.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.